We want the truth, so watch Truth Wanted live Fridays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/yttw and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/calltw. So you think
hello, everybody. Welcome to The Atheist Experience. Today is December 11th, 2022. I am your host, J. Mike, and joining me today is Dave Warnock. How are things in the life of Dave?
Dave is doing fine. Why am I talking about myself in the third person? I'm excited to be on the show with Jesus Christ himself, because all these Christians will get to talk to the man. So we're excited.
Yes, we are. And I want to, from the last show, if everybody caught, I asked for some atheist prayers for a project. I was very nervous. I want to say, I guess they all came through or they didn't come through, or it was the power of actually doing work. So we did it. We all did it. I somehow threw stuff at the wall, got it together. And so I just wanted to thank everybody.
Praise
for their, their non-prayers. What a miracle we can do together
that's wonderful. It's seriously good to be on a show with you together. We've known each other a little bit and we haven't done any of these together, so
we got to meet in Atlanta during American Atheist, but we didn't actually get to do a show, so this will be the first time. So I'm excited.
Me too.
Well, if you are not familiar already, The Atheist Experience is a product of the Atheist Community of Austin, a 501c3 nonprofit organization dedicated to the promotion of atheism, critical thinking, secular humanism, and the separation of religion government. We are going to go straight into calls because we're actually stacking up a bunch.
They're coming in.
So I'm going to go to Davis in Colorado, who says that he does not have enough faith to be an atheist. I feel like I've heard this before. How's it going, Davis?
Hey, I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Hey, Davis. Good to talk with you. Thanks for calling in. How can we help today?
So I was actually just calling because I had a couple questions about the atheist worldview. So I know that as atheists, you guys reject the idea of God, right? So I was wanting to clarify, like, what do you mean by God? What's your definition of God?
Yeah, so we're already kind of in a weird territory because atheism is, the way I look at it, atheism is just a grunt, and you could mean a lot of different things by that. And what most people mean is not accepting the God hypothesis or that the proposition is true that God exists. Some just rejecting it and actually saying it's false. So I can't speak for Dave. For me, I do think a lot of positions, or at least a lot of properties that will be attributed to God will entail some contradiction. So it's actually kind of that I need to know what it is the person means when they give the God claim, because it's just a grunt, right? It's just three letters. So I need to actually unpack what somebody means. Otherwise, I don't even know what it is that I'm rejecting.
Sure.
Yeah, that's I would add on to that. My view is similar to what Mike said, in that atheist is a response to the God claim, atheist. So if you're making a claim that you have a particular theistic God that you're presenting, then my response to that is, I don't see enough evidence to accept that claim, and therefore I'm going to say I'm an atheist. I don't. And so when you say you don't have enough faith to be an atheist, if you want to expand on that, that'd be interesting, because to me that doesn't require any faith in anything. I'm not making a claim that I have to back up with any kind of faith. So to Mike's point, how would you respond to the question of what kind of God are you presenting?
Yeah, well, I guess where I'm kind of coming from is I feel like nobody can really fully prove that there is or isn't a God. But it's tricky because the idea of God itself is something that I don't think a human can really grasp. But when I ask about like what you define God as, I'm curious what that is, because in order to reject something, you probably have to have an idea of what the thing is that you're rejecting. So just to give you my definition of God, like what I would describe is an immaterial, infinite, eternal being that has morality and has a sense of good and evil, and basically is the source of everything that we see, everything that physically exists in this physical universe. And I don't see how anything could exist without the idea of a higher power to speak it into existence. And so that's where I get a little confused on how could exist.
Well, can I point something out though real quick? Sorry, it's just because there's a couple things I want to make sure I keep on track. But if I start backwards, what you cited was just seemed like personal incredulity to me, because you were, I don't want to like pin that on you fully, but when you said, I just can't see the world working like without a God, that's just saying Y must be true because I can't imagine X being true, right? But that's not like really an argument. That's just incredulity.
Okay. Well, that's a fair point to say. So then I guess I would be curious, like how, even if let's just say that I can't imagine why God exists, but I also, or why anything could exist without God. Well, okay. So let's say that I could imagine how something could exist with, sorry, that doesn't make sense. So I'm gonna back up. So I'm trying to wrap my brain around the idea that everything could come from nothing. Like everything that we see in the universe just came out of nothing.
That's not an atheist position, right? So like someone like Graham Oppie, who is a philosopher, he has a position. It's like there's a necessary initial item, right? Natural item. There's no state of nothingness prior to that. There's nothing, like something didn't come out of anything because there's no state of nothing for it to come out of. That's actually a position that if you're a Christian, like someone like William Lane Craig holds to, right? They think God created, it's just God. We'll kind of use your definition, right? God's existing alone, right? It's just a mind alone. And I think we both agree on what kind of makes a God in this case, which is creating the external world, creating everything. But if it's the case that he creates the external world, but prior to that, it's just him, what does he create the world out of? Right? Nothing, right? He literally creates the world from nothing. So that would actually be the theist position. It wouldn't be like that. The atheist, something doesn't come from nothing. It's kind of like a meme. It's like not really, I mean, some atheists might hold to that, but that's not a position. I don't think I've met an atheist that holds that position.
No, I haven't either. It's kind of a straw man that we keep having to knock down because people keep putting it up there. It's not a thing that we adhere to. We don't have an atheist doctrine that's the first point of. So I want to go back, Davis, if you will, to you put out this hypothesis of a God with these attributes. But you preface that by saying we can't prove or disprove such the existence of such a God. And I agree with that. So when you're making a claim that this God exists, and you're kind of basing it on the idea that you can't imagine the world without a God like this, that's a pretty strong claim. So how do you back that up is my question to you.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question I'm trying to answer is, what's the best explanation of reality? Like how does anything exist if there's nothing, if there's no source, if there's nothing that it can emerge from, if there's nothing that can, like something can't come from nothing at the end of the day. Like we can't.
Yeah, but we've already kind of squashed.
You keep going back to that. And again, that's not a thing that we're saying. Science continues to give us understanding about our origins and about how things developed and how things came to be. What religion has done throughout the centuries and continues to do now is to put forth an answer for that and hold to that answer, even in the face of scientific discoveries proving it otherwise. So I'm not in the position of saying this is the answer and I'm not going to listen to anything that doesn't comport with this answer. And that's what religion has historically done. And they're starting, I used to be a Christian, I don't know if you know that, but I used to believe that the words of the Bible were true. And so I held the position that the creation story was real and accurate and that the things in the Bible were true. And when something came along in science or in history or in geography or physics that contradicted what the Bible told me, I had a problem. Which was I going to believe? And so we're not holding a position that we have to defend. We're saying if there's things about the universe that are not understood yet, I'm perfectly fine saying, I don't know. I don't know how.
Yeah, I think majority of things we would just concede we don't know, and a lot that's perfectly fine.
But the Christians I know of have a hard time saying that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, well, I mean, the thing that I would want to hone in on, Davis, is you do accept the claim, and Dave is absolutely right. You've kind of put it in conjunction with this, I can't imagine it the other way, right? X must be true, not X seems just wholly impossible or improbable. Now, I'm curious, what is like the method or mechanism that you use to get there, right? Because if you feel like that position is justified, presumably you have reasons to give that serve as the justifiers. And so I'm curious, what is it? Like, what was that process process for you to go, must be X, not X, no way, right? What does that look like?
Yeah, well, and for me, it's tricky because you can't really, on either side, I think like you pointed out, you can't really say this is the truth or this is not the truth. You can't, because nobody can
right.
prove that God is or isn't real, like you just mentioned. And I feel like that kind of puts you guys almost more in the agnostic camp instead of atheism, because the position of agnosticism is we can't know for sure. And where the atheist,
because I'm atheist towards majority of God concepts that have been put forth to me. So like when I actually analyze and I look at my credence towards what I would affirm as the proposition, my credence leans heavily towards that there wouldn't be a designer or a creator or any of that. That's where it leans. And for good reason, because when people offer these types of analyses, they generally are riddled with some type of like logical contradiction that you can easily spell out, or we can just do like a worldview comparison. And I just by pure parsimony, I don't have to add this foreign supernatural mind on top of things because I can explain the data without it. And so to me, it's a really good indicator that if I can explain all the data without invoking these intentional states, right? These like beliefs God desired for the world to be this way and desired the trees to do that. Like if you just shave all that off, you have a complete world. You can develop a complete worldview that explains all the data, right? Okay. That to me does lead me to say I'm an atheist, right? I would lean more towards that proposition. Now, yes, I'm going to be agnostic in the sense that I can't like globally show all concepts. I have to listen to them first. But you hold a position uh-huh. to probably presumably a very specific God that you do believe in, right? And it doesn't seem like you're offering the mechanism that you act, how you actually got there. It sounds like what you want to deflect to like what we think for some reason.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. So, and for me, it wasn't like a quick, like, oh, this is exactly how I came to it. Like I started from a high level of like questioning like these bigger things. And then I started to narrow it down to like, see, okay, well, which God makes more sense to me. But like, I noticed that you mentioned about you went based off of the data to kind of draw a conclusion about, okay, that there can't be a God because this is the data that says there isn't one.
I'm saying at no point do you have to invoke desires or a mind or anything like that to explain how the world works around us. Mm-hmm. Nowhere does adding that into the hypothesis like create some new thing that we don't know, right? That's what I take to be evidence. Some type of predictive expectation, something we don't currently know, and we confirm it and it comes true. And at no point when we add this idea of desires or intentions behind it, has it ever been viable in the hypothesis. It's never even needed. You can just shave it off. Now I can say, well, I didn't rule it out, but I can make a pretty damn good case that under it, you know, I don't have to add unicorns to my hypotheses. I don't have to add spirits and souls to them. And so I can just discount them out of hand, because the way that I want to look at the world around me is what makes predictive expectation. The God hypothesis doesn't seem to make any predictive expectation from my view.
Uh-huh.
So I don't see that. I don't see why it's useful.
Universe that doesn't have a God in it. So if there's a universe that doesn't have a creator, like for instance, do you guys believe in the Big Bang?
Yes.
As I understand it.
But before we get there, we didn't really get to, because we have to make the call somewhat short so I can get to other callers, but I would love to answer what you're saying, but you didn't really give me, when I asked you the question directly, what was the mechanism or method that you used to get to this conclusion where you think it's like unlikely that something like naturalism could be true?
Well, I started asking myself what could cause the Big Bang, because it can't just come from nothing. And that's the question that even scientists don't know the answer to. They'll just say, well, we don't actually know, but it's okay because that doesn't apply. This is the one thing that we don't need evidence for. We're just going to say it doesn't have a cause and
Yeah, but you're kind of misunderstanding. You're kind of misunderstanding the fact that we can always shove something behind the curtain, right? We can say that there's something precedes that, or there was some initial state that always existed, but you're doing something else. You're saying that thing behind the curtain has to have intentional states and desires, right? And wants and wills and needs, right? Things that are hallmarks for agency. Right? That's the God claim. That's what that whole thing is. It's not just simply there needs to be something prior to it, because that's a really easy move for a theist to do. It's really easy for them to go, hey, there's this thing we can't explain. There's something prior. Okay, great. Why couldn't naturalism plant their flag there too? I don't get it.
Mm-hmm. I guess the question I want to ask you, Davis, is where Mike addressed earlier. You've gone from there must be something that created this to believing in a specific God. And I'm guessing, is it the God of the Bible, the Christian God, or some other?
Well, yeah, I would identify as a Christian, I would say, but okay. I didn't get there.
So how did you get from there must be something that created the universe, because something can't come from nothing, to the God of the Bible, the Christian God. How did you get there? That's the question Mike's been asking you that you kind of keep dodging. So how did you get there?
And what I'm saying is, I can't even get to that point until I've established there's a possibility of a creator. If I haven't even...
No. It doesn't matter that you established that there could be this. You've said there could be this. It must be this. And so therefore, your conclusion is it's the God of the Bible. Tell us why. What's your evidence? Tell us how you got there.
Okay. I looked at the world, and I see that there is the existence of morality. Everybody has a sense of meaning. I think humans aren't animals. I think we have a greater sense of identity. We're searching for meaning. We have love. We have attributes that animals just don't have.
It's weird though. I'm not hearing even Jesus's name being mentioned, because that's hard for me to like really believe you became a Christian from all these things that any theist could just look to for a generic God, right? It seems strange that like Jesus has, like, is Jesus not a big factor in you being a Christian?
Well, he's the biggest part of it, but I didn't get there.
Sure, then why wouldn't that be the reason that you offer, right?
All the religions of the world.
I would love to finish.
Sure, go ahead. I'm just confused by this response that Christians give, where Jesus is never the thing. It's like, here's this modal ontological argument, or kalam cosmological. It's never like the thing that actually convinced them. It's weird to me. It's just so strange. So,
okay, go ahead and finish your statement, Davis. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, so with all these different things, humans have identity. We have all these like questions about like just the meaning of life and everything. And I feel like Jesus, aside from just the historicity of his existence, seems to be the figure that is the best solution to the human condition. Like we're in this broken state. We're in this broken, you know, world where everything, we all know something is off. Like everybody wants meaning. Everybody wants to be loved. Everybody wants to be like, have some sort of purpose. Like what are we doing here? And I feel like that's where the figure of Christ comes into the picture, and he's able to take those burdens off of us. And I feel like the world has this very skewed view of Jesus, where he's just some authority that comes in and says, you have to do this, this, and this. And if you don't do that, then I'm going to send you to hell forever. And that's such a like,
he did say those things.
It's missing part of the picture, because part of why I think Jesus is the answer is because he has the answers to everything else in life, like all this stuff, all this, like,
why does, because a book says something, or because you independently confirm that, or does it just the book says something?
It's a mix of it. Again, this kind of stems, it goes back to the original question of, okay, what's the point of all this? And then I look at the human condition. I say, okay, we're broken. So what's wrong with this? There's something wrong with this picture. Why are people all searching for happiness, but nobody can find it in a way that truly fills us up? There's this hole in our hearts that nobody can really seem to fill. And that's where, once I like accepted
my heart pumps myself, blood. I don't know what you mean.
Well, hole was filled.
Davis, that hypothesis has all kinds of holes in it. First of all, the vast majority of criminals in prison today claim to be a Christian. Do you know that?
Okay.
Are you aware of that?
Just because somebody says they're a Christian, I would say that doesn't make them a true, like...
Oh, so you get to decide who's a true Christian or not. Because the point is, many people have claimed... Listen, many people have claimed that Jesus saved them, Jesus helps them, and yet we see no evidence of that. We see no evidence of anybody who... There's no higher morality in the Christian world than there is in the secular world. You have to be aware of that. So surely you're aware of that.
The world get morality. I'm curious, where does the secular world get morality from?
That's really easy. There's positions. So for me, at least, I'm not a moral realist, so this isn't my position, but there are people that are called moral naturalists or moral realists, and they don't believe in God, and they at least give arguments or reasons why it's the case. So there is an analysis for that position. So there is, and what they're going to be called is, they're going to be what's called stance independent reasons. So like reasons independent of your attitudes and values for why you should do some action. And there's people that believe that those exist, right? You should not go harm somebody unnecessarily or an innocent person, right? There's the things that they think, that these are facts in the world. Now, whether that thesis is successful is another thing. But the view you're coming from by saying morality is a subjective view. It's just what God commands. If in the view that in 1 Samuel 15:3, when God commands Amalekites to be infants to be slaughtered, right, that it would be good under your view. That would be a good thing. So long as it's commanded by the thing, that's not morality at all. It's obedience. There's nothing there about what someone should or should not do. The moral facts can just change on a whim. So I don't know this. I don't understand this high ground of morality from theists, when theirs is so vacuous and devoid of anything intrinsic to the actual actions. It's actually an extrinsic thing. What makes like throwing someone off a building wrong is if God puts this extrinsic notion that it's wrong, this command, not that the intrinsic action had anything to do with it, right? It's just so divorced from how we actually deal with ethics. So I don't get this move of putting the theist at this high moral ground. I don't get it. I think that the person who I disagree with, the moral naturalist, who's an atheist, who's trying to argue, they're arguing and actually looking at the actions. They're actually caring, right? They're actually making a thesis that's worth approaching. So I don't get that move.
It's a really bad argument to say that morality came from the God of the Bible. Any cursory reading of the Bible will dispel that notion quickly. Morality evolved through society as people learned how to deal with each other in the ways that would best serve the society they lived in. It's pretty simple. The God of the Bible did not bring us morality in any sense of the word, just like Mike went through that with you.
Okay.
So that's a really hollow argument.
So you guys said a lot there, and I think those are all really good points. I'd love to go through a couple of them, but I guess I know this is a limited time frame, but I'm curious, do you believe in evil?
Well, I believe that I think
depends on how you depends on how you define evil, because if you're looking at good versus evil,
things that should not be done.
You put it forth, so you tell me the definition.
Well, I would just say, here I have my computer in front of me. I'll just go look up the definition of evil on Google.
Well, let's focus on this. Do we agree? This would be much easier. This will just be
evil.
But this is just going to convolute things. This will be much easier because we can just both agree on this from both of our worldviews. Do you agree good is something of what should be done, ought be done, like coming to God in your worldview or accepting Jesus with all your heart? You believe that's something I ought do, right?
Well, I wouldn't say you have to. I would say that's your choice, but I would say
that God is the standard, and if I want to be in accord with God, it's something I ought to do, right?
I mean, that's if you define God as the ultimate standard of good.
I'm asking from your worldview.
Why can't you just answer the question?
Yeah, it seems obviously your worldview.
The reason that I would say yes is because for me,
I don't need the reason yet. I don't need the reason yet. I just want to go through this real quick. I don't need the reason. It's going to convolute things. We can get to the reason. If you think that good is what ought be done or should be done, evil is what ought not be done, like sinning. We agree sin is something we should not do?
I mean, yes, because sin is damaging.
Cool, right? You can give me any reason. It's fine. I'll grant the reason. So we have on the table an analysis of something that should be done that's consistent with the standard, something that should not be done. Evil and good, bad and good, right? Now, your God, he can't fail, right? He's infallible. No matter what his intentions are, he's going to succeed, right?
He will succeed at his will. Doesn't mean it's our will, but okay.
Sure. Now, does God will for evil in the world?
That's a really good question. Evil has to exist in order for anything outside of God to exist, because God is the only
I'm just asking if he does. Does he will it or not?
He doesn't want it to, but it's a requirement in order for good to exist. You can't have one without the other.
This is really easy. When he creates the world and he's going to actualize the world that he wants to create, when he makes the intention of the world, does he intend for evil to be in it or not? If he doesn't, it's going to be successful, right?
That's not an answer that we can understand in this lifetime, but I believe that the cost of creating, from the theistic perspective, if God's going to bring anything into existence and create humans and give them consciousness in order to experience his goodness and his grace, then they're going to have an option. They're going to have an option to choose him or to turn and fulfill their own desires and fulfill their own.
Great. So perfect. So now, under your view, it sounds like you're saying it's required. God intends it. Do you think he could create a world where we're all like him? We just freely do good.
So there's a difference between something being required and something being intended. It's he had to create the universe in order to have his glory reflected back at him, because he is the ultimate.
No, he didn't.
Okay, so it's just really easy. All you're saying is there's reasons that God has to allow evil, right? And so all we can just point out is that I don't even know how you construe that it's a bad thing. If you take, like, this example has been given by some people I know that I think is a really good example. If you take your daughter to get a vaccine, right, you wouldn't say pricking the child is like a bad thing. You would say it's something you ought to. All things considered, we ought prick the child because they're not going to get polio or COVID, right? And so if that's the case, we wouldn't say that that's a bad thing we shouldn't do. And your view wouldn't be any different. Your view would be, God thinks that we need these things, right? He could probably create the world without the evil or the injustice or Holocaust or things like that. But rather, he thinks those things are required, right, for significance of humans. That's like a horrible view from my perspective.
It's free will that's required. It's not evil that's required. It's free will that's required.
Is God good?
Free will is not required, Davis. You think it is because in your view, that's how God did it. But free will is not required.
And it doesn't make sense. If you think God is all good, Davis, we have to move on with this. Response really doesn't make sense to me, because if you think God is all good, right, he can only do good, he only does what should be done, and you think he's free, right, he's not robotic, like creating the world, he's free, then there's no issue on your view. You already believe in a foundational being that's free, that does only good, and he could create those exact same types of beings, but instead he has reasons to create a different world, right? He intends for there to be evil in the world. It seems to be straightforward to me, but all right, we have to move on to other callers. I think about that though.
And it doesn't require any faith to be an atheist.
That's one question.
No, we really need to move on. We've spent more than enough time on this call. We've got a lot of calls.
Yeah, call back next week. Part of that could be my fault, so apologize. But when people throw the morality thing on there, it kind of irritates me, because one, you don't have this high horse. It's just your view turns out to be really uncomfortable really quick. And then two, if God just creates evil and that's required, then all things considered, it's a good thing, right? It's not an evil thing. It's a good thing under your view. It's foundationally required for his plan to come into fruition. So it just like blows my mind. Sorry, Dave. But anyway, we'll get back into a good mood. If you know, if you like what we do and you want to support us, there are many ways that you can support us. One, you could become a member for as little as 99 cents by clicking the join button below the video. This will give you access to special chat emojis. And if you're in the chat and you have some of these, show them off for everybody. Make them jealous. Show them what they're missing out on. You can also check out our other shows, because The Atheist Experience hosts more than just The Atheist Experience. If you watched earlier, you can watch Talk Heathen, Truth Wanted on Fridays, Secular Sexuality on Thursdays at 7 p.m. And then we also have The Nonprofits and Talk Heathen before The Atheist Experience at 1 p.m. Central and 3 p.m. Central. And you can also support us on Patreon at tiny.cc/PatreonAXP. And so we'll try to get zoom through. We got some calls stacking up. Dave, do you have any call that you want to take? Or
yeah, let's talk to Johan in Florida. No, wait. I'm sorry. I want the scientific facts in the Bible. Julian, that's what I was looking at. We'll get to Johan later.
All right, I'll pull them up.
Sorry about that.
No worries. Julian, how you doing? Johan.
Hello.
Hey, yeah. Julian.
Hey. I had a quick question. I had a Christian friend of mine, and he had a Bible verse that he showed to me before when I was an atheist, and I just had a quick question about it.
Okay.
The verse is Job 38:16.
Okay. You want to tell us what it says?
Okay.
Or you have it, Mike? You've got it, Mike.
I pulled it up. I just don't know his. His translation would probably be better, because anyone can just be like, that's not the one. So I'd rather him just.
I'll read it. Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea? Hast thou entered into the search of the depth?
Yeah. What do you think that means?
Well, what my friend had told me was that I was watching a seminar from Kent Hovind, and he said that was a discovery found about 50, 60 years ago. I just wanted to know what does the verse simplify, basically.
What was the discovery? I'm kind of,
seems there's a lot of missing links here.
I'm in the dark here. So what are we saying that this Bible verse has proven some discovery? What are we talking about here?
Geysers found in the sea.
What is it?
Geysers, hot springs.
Geysers.
Geysers.
Ocean. Yes.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Yeah. And you're saying that this verse somehow predicts that, and they only recently discovered it, and so what? I mean, what's the point of this? I guess I'm curious as to why this would be significant in any way.
If it was a fact proven before science, maybe.
And this vague verse in a vague book like Job is somehow proof of the geyser found in the midst of the sea.
It's kind of a reach.
It's kind of a really, really big reach. And it's kind of embarrassing, honestly, if Christians are needing to find something like this in what everyone acknowledges the book of Job is very vague in terms of its purpose and meaning. But if they're stretching this hard to make a verse somehow prove that God knew something. I would think if God was on his toes and wanted to show us something, he would have maybe given us a clue about germ theory, something that would be actually useful to humankind to prevent diseases that have wiped out whole population in previous centuries because mankind didn't know about germs and didn't know that maybe you should wash your hands after going to the bathroom and maybe you don't get these diseases. If God was going to, this is like a parlor trick. It's like, oh, God's going to give you a little clue in a book and you're going to find this geyser years later and everybody's going to go.
Specific location.
Yeah. And everybody's going to go, wow, look what God said long ago. He could have done that with germ theory or something that would have really helped humanity.
Yep, exactly. It's like the Quran verse that people give. Like it says the word expanse. Like, well, yeah, I don't really see atomic light nuclei or like hydrogen helium ratios or cosmic. I don't see any of those things that would be the hallmark of.
It's like when Christians say they saw the face of Christ in a piece of toast. He did some party trick so somebody can go, ooh. Instead, why didn't you go to a goddamn hospital and heal some kids? Do something that actually helps. Yeah. I mean, when Christians point to these kind of things as some kind of evidence for God, it's really, really embarrassing for their team, if you ask me. Go back home and find something to bring to us that actually has meaning, that someone can actually benefit from. Jesus Christ. Now I'm pissed, Mike.
I'll shift it over to you, but Julian, what do you want to respond to that? Because I mean, you gotta admit, it's just like, do you think that anybody would find this compelling? I mean, who already buys into it, but
I guess the question I have, Julian, you're talking about your friend who puts this forth. What do you think about this?
Yeah,
you're the caller. Tell us what you think.
I was an atheist for basically most of my life. I recently just became a Christian not too long ago.
Okay, that's interesting. Why?
Yeah, why did you make that life change? Because they found geysers in the ocean?
Yeah, please tell me it's not.
I hope it was more than that, brother. I hope it was more than that.
Especially since, like, you have to fight now over, like, whether or not Judaism or Christianity is true, because I don't know how that makes it exclusive to Christianity.
Yeah, why did you become a Christian, Julian?
Well, one thing about when I was an atheist was I would always like try to find a certain religion maybe or like a certain religion that maybe I was just seeking for the truth. And when I converted to when I became a Christian, I just
No. I'm sorry to cut you off, but not when you came, why you became. Because I feel like we're just going to skip that whole thing. Why? Yeah. What? When you get to the when I became, why was the reason there even is a when I became, right? What's that? How does when I became even come like into the world, right? What is the evidence that convinced you? Did you just read the Bible and were convinced? Like, what is that process? Because this was the answer we didn't get from Davis that I don't know, for some reason, seems like theists are like unwilling to share this.
They're unwilling to answer simple questions is what I'm finding. So why did you become a Christian, Julian? What compelled you to believe that this was the truth you were supposedly looking for? I have a separate question of, if you're an atheist living in the world, what is it that you're looking for? Why are you looking for a religion to give you some answers?
Well, because I feel like in the world, we don't have all the answers. And so when I was an atheist,
therefore,
theism? Religion to find those answers.
That's my question. Yeah. Why? Yeah, I guess that's my question before the one to answer why you became Christian. But why were you looking for religion for your answers? That's compelling to me. That's a mystery to me. I don't understand that compulsion. What is it about religion? Because it sounds like, although you said you were an atheist, it sounds like you were shopping for a religion that would fit your needs. Like you were cold, and instead of going into a building to warm up, you went shopping for a sweater. And you were looking for the particular religion that would fit you the best, and you landed upon Christianity. So why were you looking, and why'd you land on that one?
I feel like most of my questions, or most of what I'm trying to like seek for in life, I find mostly in the Bible.
For instance,
can you name one of those things?
Name something in the Bible that's given you an answer.
Well, so when I was an atheist, I really was not quite sure if there was any purpose for living, if there was any purpose for existing. Mm-hmm. And when I became a Christian, I realized how, like, in the Bible, it gives us so much hope for the future. And
like what? What kind of hope for the future? Break that down for me, because I'm a
life. The hope for us being raptured and taken away.
So you're talking about hope for the future being a life after death, correct?
Yes, yes.
Why is that important to you?
Because we see so much wickedness and evil in the world that it kind of feels like if there is no God, then there is no hope.
Okay, so what, right? You don't have, like, look, if you, like, this whole idea that I need to hold on hope and that somehow infers a God exists is so artificial. It all it's doing is comforting you in some way,
yeah,
but robbing you of being intellectually honest with yourself, because you're not even like, you're not even employing any standard at which you go, hold on, does hope for something make it true? Because to me, that, like, the second I hear that, it gives me a lot of hope. I just go, so what? I can write a book and give you the most false sense of hope ever. I could be a great writer and just play psychological games on you, right? And just give you as much hope as I want. I don't know how that indicates truth for the claim, right? That's a separate thing.
And that's the thing, Julian. I hear where you're coming from. Go ahead.
Do you think that it could be possible that that a God could be real? Like, if the Bible was the word of God, do you think that it's possible?
Christianity, no, but I have my reasons.
Anything's possible. When I die, I could ride a unicorn to a rainbow on another planet. I mean, that's possible. It's not likely. And it's just as unlikely that we go to some heaven after we die. That doesn't make sense on any physical or metaphysical level.
If you were to die, let's say, and let's say you had a short enough period of time, in that remaining like part of your life, do you think that you would accept Jesus before you died, or you wouldn't?
Well, let's just cut to the chase here, Julian. I do have a short period left. I have a terminal disease. I have ALS. I've been living with it for 4 years now, and the life expectancy that I... Thank you. I probably have another two years to live. I know I look healthy from the shoulders up, but if you saw me walk and try to pick something up, you would know there's something wrong with me. I'm an atheist. I used to be a believer. I used to believe in a heaven. I used to believe in an afterlife. I came to the conclusion that's nonsense. So I am that person you're thinking of when you ask that question. If you knew you had a short period of life, would you become a believer? Hell no, because it doesn't make any sense. And as Mike pointed out, holding on to let me finish, please. Holding on to some misguided hope because it makes me feel better is nonsense. Now, life is hard. I'll grant you that. There's evil in the world. There's wickedness, but there's also beauty. There's love. There's goodness. There's compassion. There are wonderful people. Rather than hold out to some utopian idea of something after this life, why not get busy making this life better for yourself and those around you? Why not build hope into this life, the one life we do know we have, and make it a better place? And we all have the ability to do that. We all have the ability to create purpose and create meaning all around us every day. We don't need some mythological story in an ancient book written by men with an agenda to get us there. We can live in the here and now, in the reality we know, and not rely on fables and stories. And don't come back and say, what if it is true? Because I could just say, what if it's not? And we could do that for the next hour. It's a waste of time.
Yeah, and it just seems kind of silly. And we'll have to move on here in a second. But it seems a little silly because it's like I could just have hope for Roland, the Forrest's goblin monster in his closet. And I could, if I told you that gives me hope, and I made these same kind of claims to you, you would probably look at me sideways. Especially if you're someone who goes, well, there's a real life in front of me, and I don't take this as the cosmic doormat that I wipe my feet off before the real life starts. Because imagine how you're going to be robbed once you come to that recollection, and you have wasted a lot of your time, right? I mean, it can work either way.
Live now, man. Live now, Julian. This is all we got. It's all we know we got. And you know, wanting something to be true doesn't make it true. But we got to move on. But thanks for your call.
And I'd point out that when I go back, and I don't like doing this. I don't like always telling someone because I feel like I'm like lecturing them. But I would like you to go back over the call and look at every time I asked you and then cut you off why you became a Christian once you brought that up. Notice that you immediately skipped it and you went to, well, when I became a Christian. You like just totally robbed me and Dave of that. Like, so if we were ever to come to Jesus, you didn't even like give us you wouldn't even have given us a fair chance to like hear what the evidence is, right? Yeah. So how could we even be blamed for it? Like, and this would be Davis and you. We're not getting anything, right? I'm asking directly and I'm not getting anything. So I don't really know how that's going to be an issue of mine when I ask theists and do a call-in show with incoming calls and ask them and I don't get it.
Right? No answers. Yep.
So I don't know. But we do appreciate the call and call back. No hard feelings on that.
Yeah. Thanks, like Julian.
But thank you.
Take care, buddy.
Have a good day. Thank you.
Too. All right. Dave, we're going to switch back, I think, back and forth on this shifting of you know, emotions in there. But
there's a geyser in the ocean, Mike. Come on.
Yeah, there's a geyser in the ocean. Well,
therefore God, because he predicted it in Job.
Yeah.
Whatever. Okay, well, moving on.
We got if you're into these types of calls with geysers and things like that being proof for God, and you didn't get to hear a lot of the other stuff that was called in about over the course of the week, and you missed out, well, here you go. Take a look at what you've missed.
Interaction with people in the faith doesn't mean acceptance of everything that they believe, right?
Love the theist, not the theism? Can we do that?
That's a shirt!
You've been, I think, our number one repeat caller for this show this year.
Yeah, and there's some people who don't like that. They say they're sick of the sound of my voice. So to those people, nah, 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 nah.
All the parents out there, talk to your kids. Understand what they're learning. And if you don't like what they're learning, they still have to get a passing grade. So teach them what you want them to know at home. At home.
You love to come on and you love to really obfuscate and pontificate and other large words so that I get closer to my J Mike transformation.
Final form. Because we all know that Islam is true, right?
But they're not authorized by God. They're created by
God. It says in their book that they are.
I could write a book and say that this is God speaking. That's different from
exactly. Yes. You just hit the nail on the head, dude. Woo. That's exactly right.
So a reminder, if you shop on Amazon, then you can support the ACA at no cost to you. Simply visit tiny.cc/AmazonSmileACA and designate the Atheist Community of Austin as your selected charity. And Amazon will donate a portion of their profit directly to the ACA. We also now, I stress this enough, too much hair. We're getting like ridiculous on the panel here with Secular Rarity and Christy. It's too much hair. It might be too much for everybody. So if that's too much for you, you want to keep it a little bit more, I don't know, shaven or something, or no hair, you can actually check out that we have all of our shows in audio podcast form. You just have to visit tiny.cc/AENpodcasts, and you can listen to all the latest shows from the Atheist Experience, Talk Heathen, Truth Wanted, Secular Sexuality, The Nonprofits, and then, well, you know, Atheist Experience, if I didn't say that again. So we do also want to say that there is the Atheist fan group that you can visit at tiny.cc FBAXP. And there is also the Atheist Experience private fan group where you can interact with others without having those interactions appear on your public feed. And that'll be at tiny.cc/FBAXPR. All right. And then if you're also interested in the debate thing, this is the thing that I got more into prior to coming and doing the show, was getting on Discord and things like that to interact with other people. There's no one in my area to talk to on this. So for me, it worked out really well to find these communities. And you can find at tiny.cc/AXP fan debates. You can go in there and talk with theists and atheists alike, maybe set up a debate on YouTube. I don't know. Do whatever you want. I think it's a really good resource and something that kept me going. If I didn't have something like that, I probably wouldn't have continued with it because I wouldn't have known where to go and be pushed in different directions. So take that journey, if you will. Let's go ahead and get to another call. I'm going to take Bear, since I guess this was touching on Davis's call. He wants to say God does will evil to happen because it is part of his glory. Bear, how's it going? Oh
boy, here we go.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. No, I do believe that although God does not will evil directly, I believe that he wills it indirectly and allows it to happen. You know? And part of the reason that is, and I'm a new Christian, so I'm starting to understand the theology more, but I believe that we were all put here for the glory of God. And our main goal here is in God's creation for us to manifest his glory through us.
Okay,
so
great.
So us to do that. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to ask a quick question. Could his glory be achieved in a world where he doesn't permit evil? We all just freely do good.
I believe that that's probably going to come in the new earth and the new heaven. Because
no, I'm saying when he created the universe, not later. I'm saying, could he have done that instead of, right? He's gonna two worlds that God could actualize. Could he actualize this one with evil that you agree with? I'm asking, could he have created a world where he will get glory, but agents or humans just freely do good? They just always do the right thing.
I think he is doing both. So I believe that this world is...
It can't be both. It's a contradiction. It's only one or the other, right? Either he allows evil or he does not allow evil.
Well, he definitely allows evil.
Okay, great. I'm asking, is it possible for him to create the other type of world? Is that possible?
Yes, absolutely.
Great. So now what we've identified is God, he didn't create that world. He had prevailing reasons to create the other world, right? He had reasons. You can give me, I don't even care what the reason is. I'll just grant he has reasons, right? Some reason he thinks it benefits. Now, I want to point out, if you're saying he allows evil and he thinks it should be done, would you agree in the scenario where pricking a child for the sake of not getting polio, all things considered, we wouldn't say pricking the child is a bad thing, right? We would say that's a good thing because of the outcome that it leads to, right? Leads to the greater good. Would we agree there?
Well, I think when we go and talk about the greater good, I think that's a way in philosophy that I don't like to go. But I believe that individually it promotes a good for that child. Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, look, if we have a child who's getting pricked, we wouldn't say that's a bad thing, given that the outcome is the greater good. Presumably God, in your view, allows evil for the greater good, right? Or does he just do it arbitrarily?
No, I believe he allows things, each of us individually. So God is a divider. He is not a uniter.
Okay,
God,
let me jump in. Let me jump in and take this a different.
I just want to put the main point on this real quick is just that if you're saying God allows evil, then all we're saying is all things considered, there should be evil, right? It's required. You've already admitted he could have created the world without it, where there's no injustices, right? There's no Holocaust, no evil, no infants being suffering, none of that. But he created the other world. I'm just pointing out to you that there's no evil in your worldview, right? Because those things are required. That's a horrible view. That's all I wanted to express to you.
Let me ask you this, Bear.
Well, it's not that they're required. They're necessary. They're necessary.
Okay. All right. Let's go down your road. God does will evil to happen because it's part of his glory. Tell me how God is glorified when a young girl is raped and tortured by an abductor, or even other examples I know of personally where a young woman is raped repeatedly by a family member. Tell me how that glorifies God.
That glorifies God through his judgment in the end.
How does it glorify God? Let's talk about the here and now. And how does that glorify God in that young woman's life? What about her?
She unfortunately is a victim. And, you know, my...
Unfortunately, that goes back to what Mike was saying, in that this God of yours, and I know your theology, Bear. You said you're a new Christian. I was a Christian for 36 years. I know the theology. It was created perfect in the beginning. Adam and Eve sinned. Evil came into the world because of the fall of man, blah, 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 and that's why we have evil in the world. The point Mike was trying to make is God could have created a world that was different, that didn't include the fall of man and free will and evil running rampant throughout the world. He was Milton fucking Bradley. He could have made the game any way he wanted, and he chose to do it this way. And your response, Bear, is unfortunately, it's too bad for the little girl. But God ultimately gets glory. Well, God can just go right to hell because that God is a moral monster. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because that girl suffered so that this God can get a little glory. What kind of father would you be to allow one of your kids to suffer, unfortunately, so that the rest of them would glorify you? You'd be a monster, Bear. A monster.
But for his view, it's required for the glory. Right. God has to have it for the glory, even though he admitted that he could create a world where God doesn't actually do that. Right. Where we do freely behave. And before a theist or a Christian says we'd be acting robotically, well, ask yourself the same question of God. If he's all good and he's free, is he a robot? Apparently not. Right. So there's no issue there. So it just seems like under your view, the best of all possible worlds is the world where there is some girl suffering because it glorifies God.
Unfortunately for her.
Yeah, unfortunately, which is an expression that he even agrees that there's something wrong.
Do you see, Bear, how twisted that is? Can you respond to the twisted nature of that? Please.
Well, I do believe that God has his own plan. And please let me finish.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Yeah, we'll hear you out.
We may not understand the plan, you know, but it's, I believe that's the God that we have. And eventually, that young girl will be vindicated. That young girl will be, in the next life, united with God, if she's worthy to be
if
united
she's worthy.
With God.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, this is, you know, I am going to cut you off real
Dude,
quick.
Dude, you
this
are
is
digging so, yourself this such
is,
a hole.
This is so ridiculous. Like,
I hope, you said you're a new Christian. I hope you're not too far in to go ahead and back out now.
Yeah, you've only put one foot in the door.
Because,
so,
dude, what you're attaching yourself to is just pure fucking evil.
Yeah, and
that
when
this girl will be okay in the next life if she's worthy. If not, she just suffered because God couldn't figure out a different way to do the world. God, that's fucked up.
Yeah, and when you make this statement that like we couldn't know, we can't know God's plan for this. Yes, the fuck we can. Look, it's if I need to go to the milk and I go well, or go to the milk. I'm sorry, if I need to go to the store to get milk, right? And I go, okay, well, what reason do I like? What do I have, or like, what should I do to get the milk? It's like, well, I should walk to the store or drive to the store. God's like chilling. He goes, I need glory. What should I do? Oh, I should have a little girl suffer, right? What you're saying is to achieve the goal is this thing, like something like me saying, someone like me just going, oh, I need to walk to the store because it's behind my house to get milk and I'm out of milk. And that's the reason. God's like, oh, well, how do I get glory? Oh, I make people suffer. But under your view, you've already admitted there's a logically possible world where God doesn't have to do that. And under your view, his glory wouldn't be achieved. His glory wouldn't be achieved if there's not victims in it. That's your view. If you don't, you have to help us out here, bud.
My view is that we're in God's game here. This is God's game.
Yeah.
And we're here in this.
Yep. And you're in my game now, and you can call back next week because this is ridiculous. We pretty much exposed everything with your view.
Everything that's wrong with Christianity in 1 9-minute call right there, folks. Everything that's wrong with the God of the Bible and this version of Christianity is just pure fucking evil. People have to suffer, unfortunately, because God needs to be glorified. Oh my God, that pissed me off. I'm sorry. I'm losing my shit here today.
Dave, I appreciate when you came in with that point, it just hammered everything home, made it very clear. So I really appreciate that because we didn't have to spend all that much time. We got the ridiculous view out of the way and put it up on to dry out. And people, you take what you will with that if you're sitting on the fence.
I hope he reconsiders this new faith of his. My God.
So by now you might know that our AXP store is up and running again, and we have been featuring a special limited limited time item each month. And so we realize that many of you have missed out on some of those great items that we've offered. And so for this month of December only, we're opening up the ACA merchandise vault and giving you limited time access to all of our special designs from the past year. Simply visit tiny.cc/theACAvault and you can see all of our past offerings. So we hope to see you do that. And we're not going to let you, oh, I'm sorry. And we're going to let you save 10% of your entire purchase if you just put in the discount code, the vault, or better yet, Mike Learn How to Read, but not really that discount code, the vault. But remember, when the year ends, so does this special offer. And so I do want to mention one other thing before we go to other calls. Below that, when you click join and you get all the special emojis, there's actually a way you can help support us directly. And that's below the live chat. There's a donate now button, and YouTube doesn't take anything out of that. If you want to support the ACA, support making the show run, keeping up to date with the things that are needed for the show to run, you can directly support us there. And we'd really, really appreciate that. It's right below the live chat. So we will go ahead to, you want to go to, is it Johan you wanted to go to?
Let's talk to Johan. We didn't want to. Probably called him early.
Yeah, we kind of teased him a little bit.
Teased him. Sorry, Johan.
Johan, how's it going? You said you want to talk about, we have a moral imperative to believe that which supports well-being. Sounds like one of my friends that I talk to about morality all the time.
Thank you. Yes, thank you so much for talking with me today. I just want to say before I go on, it's the last call is a difficult act to follow because it was so horrifying that it makes my call seem trivial by comparison, but I'll go forward. I want to start with the I'll just give a tiny bit of background. I called the show about a year ago, and I had a very long, interesting conversation with Shannon and Johnny Angel, and I listened back to the call later and realized that I hadn't made the point that I called to make. So I want to start with that, and then if you want to pursue it or get any background, we can go from there. So the point was that I want to make was that a secular morality, I don't know where you stand on this, but it's been put forward that a secular morality could be based generally on the concept of well-being. And if I live on a desert island and have no interaction with other human beings, then obviously my well-being is geared around my survival, and I have no obligation to other humans. But if I live in society, then I have an obligation to other human beings, and the concept of well-being becomes more generalized to what is conducive to the well-being of the group or the tribe or the nation or the world. So if I start from there, then my point is that then based on that concept of well-being and building a morality from that foundation, I have a moral imperative to believe that which supports well-being.
Okay. How would you define that specifically then? That's kind of an overarching theme. Make it specific for us.
Yeah.
Yeah, because well-being kind of bakes in it already bakes in this normative notion of good. And so that's why it's hard for me to parse out, because I'm like, I think I know what you mean, but it seems to kind of just bake in. It's like the word, murder. It's already baked in that it's a wrong thing, right? So it just seems like we're sneaking something in.
The thing I'm trying to get to is that in a society, let's say where I live in a community and the community has children, mm-hmm. It seems inarguable to me that the well-being of that community depends on supporting those children, making sure they have food, clothing, shelter, education, so that they can grow into adulthood, and that it would be morally wrong to deprive them of those things, to abuse them, or to neglect them. And so therefore, I have a moral imperative to believe that the care of children is an important value.
That's the key. So if you're saying it's an imperative, are you saying it's like a categorical imperative? Because this is going to be I will agree with you. I agree with that imperative, but I agree with it under the idea that I buy in, right? So I buy in, I have values. I have things that I buy into or that can be presented to me that can change my opinion. Go, you know what? Yeah, I agree and I buy into that. But that's going to be a hypothetical imperative, right? It's going to be like, if I care about well-being, then I should do these things to maximize well-being. And I perfectly agree with you there.
Yeah.
But if you're making a different claim, right, we drop the if statement. It's just, you ought care about this thing independent of how you feel. I don't really even know what that means, because I don't know what a reason is for me to act independent of like my own values, right? That doesn't seem to be coherent to me. It seems that this is like morality is clearly a subjective thing that just comes from values and desires that happen to overlap with other people because we have similar phenomenal experiences and similar physical experiences. But I don't know how that means there's like an imperative out there floating in the world, right? That's where I get confused. I don't understand that.
I agree with you. I think that is a relative imperative.
Okay.
So I would just, I take it to, I've identified, and we can discuss this if you like, but three different types of propositions
mm-hmm.
that I can either assent to belief or disbelief. The first type is that which has already been demonstrated in one way or another. For an example of that one is the Earth is roughly 150 million kilometers from the sun. I haven't personally demonstrated that fact, but I assent to the belief that that is true because it's been demonstrated. The second type of proposition is one that might someday be verified or demonstrated, but hasn't yet been. An example of that type is there exists intelligent life on other planets. Possibly yes, possibly no. It could be demonstrated. All that would be required would be for intelligent life from another planet to arrive on Earth and announce itself. And then the third type of proposition is that which cannot be demonstrated. And my view is that the existence of God is of the third type that cannot be demonstrated. And in that case, my view is that we have a moral imperative to believe that which supports well-being. Then we
on the, third one, though, you're a theist, though, right? Because I'm confused. If you can't, like, if you can't demonstrate it, then you just presumably are saying that I don't have a justification. Nonetheless, I accept the proposition to be true, which just seems arbitrary, right? Like, I don't arbitrarily accept proposition. I don't, like, Dave doesn't just go, hey, what do you think about this proposition? It's raining outside in Florida or something. And I go, yeah, I accept that, right? Like, I wouldn't, you would want to, like, maybe look up the weather, or, you know, maybe you trust somebody, like,
yeah, I guess I don't understand how your acceptance of this third proposition connects to this moral imperative to believe that which supports well-being. Connect those dots for me.
Yeah. So, full disclosure, just so you know where I'm coming from, I'm a Spinozan pantheist, so not a Christian, not a believer in any religion, but a Spinozan pantheist. And so in some ways indistinguishable from an atheist, except where consciousness is concerned. But be that as it may, where well-being comes into this assent to a belief on the third type of proposition is, if no answer can be found, the skeptic would say, well, just withhold your belief because no answer can be found. But my position is different. My position is, where no answer can be found, adopt the belief that is most conducive to well-being, to the group, to the community, to the nation, to the world. And whether or not belief in God is conducive to well-being or not is an entirely separate question that could be argued until the cows come home. Mm-hmm. But I just want to stop with the viewpoint that one ought to believe that which supports well-being. And if belief in God supports well-being, yes, then believe in God. With or without.
Let's start from that first part. Let's start from that first part. One ought to believe in well-being. And Dave, I don't want to take up all this time. If you want to go ahead, I just don't. I'm like perfectly okay with, sweet, like, maybe we accept what well-being is, and we all ought do that. But I'm not just going to, because I agree with that stance, or like, I think that that's how I value my morals, that therefore, like, I'm going to project that onto the world as if that's like the objective way people ought live. I need some type of argument for that, or some type of like evidence for that, right? Dave, I don't know what you.
Yeah,
what you,
and there needs to be, to me, it's still too much of a generic overarching idea. To say that a belief in God, if we could accept that proposition, to say that a belief in this particular God, first of all, you have to find which one you're talking about, because they're all different and they all compete with one another to exclusivity. But if you're going to say to a belief in God A is going to support well-being, that's too vague for me, because you've got to define what this God's actions are, what this God's standards are, what this God's moralities are. And until you can define that in specific ways, you can't buy into this notion of belief in this God is going to support well-being. Well-being for who?
Yeah, Dave's actually got a great point. It might not even be propositional, right? We might parse it out. It might just end up being like green TV, you know, just like a phrase that isn't propositional at all. So like, it's hard for us to accept that when it's like we don't even know what the words in the proposition refer to in the world, right?
Does that make sense?
My own view is that well-being is supported by the broadest possible diversity of beliefs. So I don't suggest that everyone ought to believe in God A because that's conducive to well-being. I think what's conducive to well-being is that the materialists are atheists and the Christians are Christians and the Muslims are Muslims and the pantheists are pantheists. I think the broadest possible diversity of belief is what supports well-being, not that we ought to try and convince each other that the other is wrong.
No, I mean, and I think I agree with you that we should care about... I'm with Dave. I'm trying to grant more because I think this notion of well-being is very vague. It just kind of sneaks
vague.
In.
It's too vague.
Sneaks in the values, right? If I say this is well-being, well is already a normative notion that like denotes it being good. And we're trying to figure out what it is that's actually good that we ought all in your terms, right, have an imperative to believe. And I don't see that that's the case because the analysis, and we're gonna have to move on after this, but the analysis for someone who's taking on moral realism, at least in the typical way that it's been expressed in the literature, is there's reasons independent of your values, independent of your stances on why you should do X. And I think that view is scary for like two reasons. One, well, it's not, for one, it's not really scary. It's just, I don't even know what that means. Like, it's like saying there's an objective tasty food that's divorced from taste buds. What? No,
you've got to define it. The definitions are too vague here to even grapple with the argument itself. The idea that you, first of all, my view is that the world would be better without any religion, because these religions muddy the water and do damage to one another and to humanity by and large. So trying to get behind a particular belief in a God or a religion surrounding that God and saying that this is going to support well-being if we just let everybody believe in their own God and quit trying to convince each other. Well, that's not going to happen, because the belief systems themselves are exclusionary of one another. They're not allowing each other to get along well together. They don't play well together. They never have. And so saying that mankind is going to suddenly accept a bunch of religions that differ with each other, and we're all going to get along and say, you believe yours and I believe mine, and we'll go happily. Well, it's not going that direction, in case you haven't noticed. So I'm not sure that that's even something that we can even talk about, because the ideas are just too vague right now with this conversation.
Well, it's absolutely something that I can do as an individual. I don't need to try to convert anyone to anything.
Oh, individuals, yeah, I'm the same. But looking at society, that's not what we're seeing. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, I absolutely agree. And to supply the definitions completely that you're asking for would require at least an entire book to be written. So it's not something we can do on this call. But I
grant that you're not going to be able to give like an entire meta-ethical view on the phone or on the call-in show. But when I have one of my best friends who I love to talk to about this, and we've stayed up the other night just talking about this. When I do this analysis for like a long time with people, I just like don't think that they're expressing anything different than my view. They're just calling it realism, or they're calling like well-being like this thing that everybody should care about. But I'm not seeing like how they even establish that in the first place. And then if we tie it to like pantheism or things like that, it starts to get really vague to me, and I don't really even know what's being expressed. So yeah. I don't even like, I can't even say I deny the proposition. I'm like, I don't even know what the proposition is. It's just like saying green TV or something. It's like, maybe I kind of get what you mean, but like, not really. Like, yeah. I don't know. Sorry. But no, please call back. But, and we can continue.
Thanks for the call.
Unravel this.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You bet.
Thank you. All right. Do you have any, well, before we go back to calls.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about, how's your well-being? Is it feeling good? Is your subjectively good? Like, because we got heated so far.
Well, you mean me as a person in my life right now?
Well, I mean, from the call previous to this, which was a little different, has your well-being been restored a little bit?
You know, I've done this so much, and I've talked to these people so long, and I know where he's coming from. I know how horrible those ideas are. And yet when someone defends the indefensible at the expense of unfortunate suffering, I get pissed off, because that's not okay.
Well, if you don't want to get pissed off and you are in the Austin area between December 16th and December 18th, you can consider joining us for non-pissed off, depending on the callers, but join us in the studio audience at the ACA Free Thought Library for a live broadcast of Secular Sexuality, Truth Wanted, Talk Heathen, and The Atheist Experience. Doors open at 6 p.m. on Thursday and Friday, and noon on Sunday. Parking is going to be wherever you can find a legal spot. Let me stress that. Please make sure that you find a legal spot. Don't really want to see any of our viewers end up getting towed or booted.
Or anything like that. So, but it's fun.
Yeah. I had it happen in Atlanta. It was like $75. I hated that day. It was a horrible day. If you can't make it this month, then we will continue to do the broadcast live from the library the last week of each month. But just to make sure none of that changes, keep watching the shows and visit our website, atheist-community.org, for news and information as we expand our in-studio offerings for the near future. And so we'll try to get another call in. I do want to put one more announcement that's super important and can apply directly to you watching or listening. If you are in the local Austin area and you do want to become an additional host, it says talented host, but I'm not going to say that because I don't know what I'm exactly talented at, but maybe for Dave. So
hey, they let us do it, so it doesn't require much talent, right?
I'll say additional host and talented crew members, because they are talented.
That's where the
crew
is
right now, because they are absolutely beautiful people that are responsible for putting this show on. So we got Crew Cat, we got Jason, I got something loading. Oh, there, now it's loading. loaded. All right. So we're all good. There's the crew. Lovely crew.
Nice.
All right. And so, yeah, if you are interested in assisting with audio, video, or hosting on the new show or on the shows, then you can email us at tv@atheist-community.org and the production team will be in touch. I think that would be a cool opportunity for anybody that's interested. So mm-hmm. Let's try to fit in another call. I think we have time. We'll go to Dave. Do you have call in studio open? Do you want to take the last?
Yeah, let's I guess talk to James, I guess.
We're doing James.
Hello, James.
Talk about science or atheism requiring faith.
Hey, how's it going? Just had the question, does science or atheism require faith?
No, next call. I'm just kidding.
It could if you're a lazy atheist, I suppose. I give reasons for why I think something, I don't really like the term naturalism, but like something akin to naturalism would be probably a position I'm sympathetic to. And I'd have reasons for those, and they're not faith-based. They're going to be based on either like a worldview analysis or the fact that it makes predictive expectations or something along those lines. So I have like reasons. I wouldn't say it'd be faith, because faith to me is just trusting something and not really requiring a justifier for those. For that proposition, it's just believing it, like really, really confidently.
How would you define faith, James? I guess that might help clarify things.
Faith would be the belief. I guess if I could, that's a good question. I'm more thinking of like when you use science, you are creating a model of reality through like observation and experimentation. And mm-hmm. I think I am an atheist myself. I do believe the scientific method and critical thinking is the best method for constructing these models. But I think faith, I see that faith comes into play where we're trusting that these models are an accurate representation of reality, because for me, it seems like we'll never actually know like the true nature of reality. We just create these models within science.
If I predict that I have $1 million in my bank and then I find $1 million in my bank, right. Do you think that confirms like the thought that I had or the question that I had? Or should I make it as simple as we can?
I wouldn't say that was a scientific.
Well, no, it's not. I'm not saying it is. I'm just starting off very, very simply.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say that wouldn't be like a critical like observation. That would just be a chance.
But we can affirm the proposition being true, right?
You can affirm the proposition being true, but I would say like the method that you got to that proposition wasn't scientific and it wasn't about.
That's fine. I'm not claiming that it is. I'm just asking. We had a proposition on the table, which is whether or not I had $1 million in my bank. And then we gave some type of justification and we can conclude reasonably that the proposition is likely true. Science is way more in depth with that. Like you're pointing out, right? We can make predictions about something in the future that we don't already know. And we say, we go look, I don't know if it was Neptune or Mercury. We did just mathematical calculations. And we were like, oh, if we look here, we should see this thing. And we look and like, whoa, celestial object, really, really, really good indicator that it's true. The hypothesis and the fact that faith doesn't fit in that, right? There's nothing faith required in that. That's literally the best thing that you can do. I bet this thing is here. You do some math, you go look and you find it. Like there's nothing faith there for me.
You either verify your hypothesis or you eliminate it through experimentation. I think science is the antithesis of faith. To me, faith is believing something without evidence is a simple definition. So I think that would fly right in the face of science. Science, as I understand it, does exactly the opposite. They do not accept a proposition without proving it over and over again, testing it over and over again, and then peer reviewing it. So the only thing about science that I have to accept on faith is my understanding of it. Because, I mean, I don't have the ability to go and do the experiment myself and see it, but I can trust the experts in that field and trust and believe that what they're saying is true. I can watch the experiment if they videotape it or if I'm around to watch it, or I can try to replicate it. Mm-hmm. But I have to depend on some mechanism delivering me that information, whether it's a news source or a person or an individual who was there or the scientist who wrote the paper on it or whatever. I have to believe at some level that this information is accurate. You know what I'm saying? So that requires some level of belief in a new source or a person, but that's not the same as faith, if you will, in this purest definition. And yeah. In regard to atheism requiring faith, again, atheism is not a belief system. It's not a structural worldview, if you will. It's simply, as I see it, a response to the God claim. So there's no faith needed for that. I mean, it's just, you know, the faith is needed on the other side of that claim, if you ask me.
Okay.
That makes sense?
Yeah. I do have like a smaller question that could be answered like in a few sentences, if you guys wouldn't mind. That's okay.
Sure.
Just about like, so would atheism not include things like Buddhism or like, I guess, like half religious, half philosophical traditions like that, I guess?
I'm sorry. What's the question? Is it compatible to be an atheist and a Buddhist?
Yeah. Are those kind of things compatible? I know like you guys talk a lot about like theism more specifically.
There's a lot of stuff that's compatible with atheism. I mean, I would presume some variation, maybe. I don't know a lot about Buddhism to like comment on that, but
yeah, I don't either.
There's atheists that think that numbers are abstract objects, right? A view called Platonism. There's atheists that think in philosophy of mind that the brain isn't purely physical, right? There's nothing that entails atheism that you have to be a physicalist or this or that. You're just talking about some proposition, whether God exists or whatever the proposition that someone offers you about this creator God. So it's compatible, I guess.
I think that's the point, Mike. It's exclusive to the theist claim, the theistic God claim. I think a lot of people misunderstand atheism as though it's some worldview, and we have a handbook somewhere that our mission statement is there and all that. That's not what this is. It's just the response to the claim that there's a theistic God who rules and reigns the universe. That's simply it. You can be an atheist and a humanist. You can be an atheist and a spiritualist. You can be an atheist and a Hindu, I think, because I don't think there's a God involved there. So I don't know enough about Hinduism to speak on that issue, but it's not an exclusive position is what we're trying to say.
Right. I guess by faith, I'm not necessarily like meaning faith like in a supreme being or faith in that. I mean, like faith in the behaviors you're doing are going to accurately predict the future or benefit you. Like for example, you asked me if you had $1 million in the bank. Like, let's say I have $1 million in my bank. Can I check that? And I wouldn't check. And let's say it's a Monday, and I happen to have $1 million in my bank. I'm like, okay, that's weird. But let's say then a week after that, on a Monday, the next Monday, again, $1 million goes in my bank. Would it be like scientific or would it be reasonable to like maybe guess or anticipate that the next Monday $1 million might appear again? Like as that keeps happening, but say it happens 100 times or in a row.
Maybe if it keeps happening, presumably, but everything's based on the background information that you have, right? It's the reason why when I call you and say I got a flying puppy, for example, that you're probably not going to believe that claim because you don't have background information. And then if someone did end up showing you a flying puppy or something like that, you're probably not going to start believing that everybody that says it believes it because you've only seen this one time that it happened or whatever. That's not even actually the world that we even find ourselves in, right? We don't find ourselves getting $100 million like randomly. That's not what we do end up finding is we have an assessment of background information. And it's why when some Christians might say, oh, you sit on a chair, you have faith that it's not going to fall. I've heard that like a lot on TikTok from people, right? Or faith that George Washington exists and all this. They're two completely different claims because there's no background information on the other thing that they're taking faith in. With mine, I have a whole array of people, not even including myself, where chairs and things like this have withstand body weight, right? All of that's predicated on background information. So you wouldn't be reasonable to think it's going to continuously happen unless you develop background information about it that justifies it. And that's precisely what the theist or somebody who's taking faith doesn't seem to really have, because what they're doing is saying, I don't need background information to justify this claim. I just need to really believe it to be true. That's not what science is doing in any sense. Science is using background information, conferring with background information, making novel predictions, falsifying. None of that would require faith at all.
See that the opposite,
well, like the things can happen radically over time. We're like 200 years later, like for example, like we don't do bloodletting anymore, but I think maybe at the time with the current background information they had, it could have been perhaps reasonable to assume that bloodletting was like a reasonable medical practice. But over time we developed
but
the
that
background
wasn't,
information
yeah, that wasn't faith good. That so was you, science
you
at work
the faith I'm saying is that you have to have faith that the current science you're following won't transition into pseudoscience.
No, that's literally how science works, is the idea that it can be falsified at any point. That's just how, like, you're attacking something that's just constitutive of how science works, right? It's the idea is that you could always falsify a theory.
I just think it's
I'm sorry, that's my bad. That's my, yeah, that's my bad. I didn't mean to mischaracterize it. I'm just trying to say, all you're pointing out is something that is constitutive of science. We have some type of falsification or method of falsifying, whatever it might be. And when that occurs, or in any theory, that's not a bad thing, right? What we end up doing is learning from our mistakes. That's a good thing. We were justified in the position given the background information that we had. There's no having everything all at once. That's what we're trying to do. So it doesn't undermine the thesis, because if that's the case, then I guess we should have just never started and just kicked rocks, right? Because we'll never make mistakes to get to that plateau. That just seems strange,
right? No. I totally agree with you, but I'm saying, like, given that, like, science can be rewritten, like, at any moment, isn't it like a little like to just wholesale like discount all religious thought?
There's no discounting. We're asking theists to call in and give us the evidence. If we discounted it, we wouldn't have a show asking them. There would be no show. I wouldn't do this show. I'd just be like, it's false, and I move on with my life. I'm opening myself up that what you're saying could be true. It's just the case that in what 20 years nobody's actually given a good argument or evidence for it. I mean,
the bigger issue here is the $1 million in your bank account. If I found that on a Monday, I would cash that out and move to Costa Rica, because I'd figure it was probably a mistake and it wasn't going to happen again. So that's what we really need to talk about.
I want that million. I want that $1 million.
I do understand what you're saying. I still do believe, like, maybe I'm making a bigger deal of it. I'm not trying to make it like as a weakness, but like as a natural component of science. You have to have the faith that the scientific thought of today will not transition to pseudoscience. And that's going to be
I'm tripping over the word faith. When you say you have to have faith that this certain thing won't be true or will be true, I think that's probably, for me, the wrong word to use, because you're in the process of discovering and eliminating options and finding better solutions. That's the work of science. And that, to me, is the opposite of faith. Faith is where you're believing something without evidence and you're locking into a position. And so, to me, I would use a different word. I just feel like it's confusing the issue unnecessarily.
Dave, I think, parses it up really well. You have belief in the proposition, like, just think about thinking the proposition is true and having reasons or justification, science predicated on that, having faith that I think Christianity is true. I can hold that position of faith and not give anybody a reason. I can go, it's just faith. That's not what science would do. Science would not go, I don't have to give. They would give you the novel, the predictive expectations that were now, whether there would be end up being false, that's fine. We can just grant that. What do? We end up using that background information to have a more defensible position. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. That's why the science of, like, a science of medicine changes, and why people can, you know, get better medication or live longer, right? This is all about updating that. We're going to be wrong. We're all going to be wrong in our lives. We're all going to make mistakes. We're humans. What we do. We do it really well. We make mistakes. I know in times not to do something, like wait to the last minute to try to do my project and squeeze it out. Like, I know that. I know that from my past history. We make mistakes, but when we update and we actually go, wow, I shouldn't have done that, and I actually employ that into my background information, we end up having more defensible positions. We end up becoming better people. We end up understanding more about the world. So it's not, I think that's a beautiful thing. I think to say that would be a negative thing would be weird. It's a good thing that we can say, yeah, we don't ultimately know, but we have a damn fucking good reason to think that this is the case. I think that's better than just sitting on my hands going, I think the Christian God that I'm 2,000 years removed from is true because I book says a thing, you know, which none of us here take.
Any day.
It's a different claim. It's a completely different. One gives a shit, the other doesn't. You know?
Yeah, it's two different levels of certainty. Like, yeah, you're right. I'm just, at the end of the day, I just, like, sometimes it feels like there's a certain, like, arrogance that science is always going to provide the best way. And I think it naturally will, because, like, the principles of critical thinking will naturally point towards that trend. But I just...
I mean, boo-hoo for the rest of them that don't like the method that works. You know, boo-hoo, you know. Sorry, Dave.
Just wanted to hear your guys' thought on that. I'm an atheist myself, so I just want to do some pushback against my own beliefs and community. So, yeah, I appreciate what you guys do, and I like listening to stuff. So thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for the call, James.
Yeah, Dave, so you have any last kind of thoughts on that before we wrap it up? I'm curious on what you might want to add to that.
We're all sinners. We sin every day. We need to repent and get right with God. I want to make the announcement. I've returned to God after listening to these calls today.
Oh, man.
No, big announcement.
That's a big announcement.
Oh, yeah.
So he just drops from the screen.
Oh. Yeah, no. And there goes Dave.
Yeah. Well, we do appreciate everybody that tuned in. Apologize. I think there might have been a call or two we didn't get to. Please call back next week. There'll be some good hosts on. They'll be glad to take your calls. Maybe mention to the call screeners you called in, you couldn't get in.
Yes, please call again.
You know, maybe you can get something.
We can't ever get to all the calls, and I always feel bad that we can't, but it's just not possible. Most weeks we have more than we get to. So
sure.
Please call again. We will try to get you next time.
Yep. And if you didn't already know, you can visit our website at atheist-community.org for the latest of what's going on. And you can feel free to contact us at tv@atheist-community.org. And we've had a good time here. Some good calls, some not so good calls. Yeah, some
they make the show interesting.
Yeah, who knew glorification requires like horrible evil things.
Child and, sacrifice, right?
Yeah, it's pretty terrible, but anyway, God, guys,
God needs him some glory.
Yeah, well, I think it's one thing to mention that if you need glory from such an action, but in your argument you already agree that God could have created such a world, and you don't analyze and see that problem in that view, you should get out of being a new theist really quickly, because you're not good at it.
Yeah.
Anyway, take care, guys. We love you. Be safe.
See you next. What will it take for you to start?
It's time to get sexy. So watch Secular Sexuality Live Thursdays at 7 p.m. Central. Visit tiny.cc/YTSS and call into the show at 512-991-9242 or connect to the show online at tiny.cc/callsex.